The epistle appointed for this 17th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, "What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "David's." And he said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool'? If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one could answer him a word, neither did they dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Amen.
Bearing with one another in love. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. In the epistles, St. Paul is again exhorting us how to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we have taken upon ourselves, bearing one another's burdens as we fulfill the law of Christ, as we pray at the office of sext, to persevere in humility, in meekness, as we try to put up with others and cover up their shortcomings as best we can. This is mostly in convents and monasteries where we see other religious doing things and not quite exactly as perfect as they could, and so without saying anything we just come up behind and fix what they did done amiss. And no one ever knows who has done it. But the thing is that we put up with these things. And sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's hard. Dealing with a variety of characters, each person's attitude is different. So you never know what you're going to run into. But in all case, we have to do it because we love the Lord. We love the good Lord. And we wish to serve him. And here is the love of thy neighbor, that we always look out for his needs and help them as much as we possibly can. Each one of us has a calling. Each one of us has a vocation. And it's this vocation that the good Lord desires you to perfect in. It doesn't matter what walk of life you've chosen. The fact is that are you living it to the best of your potential? We don't want to be like the one who took his one talent and buried it in the earth and then decided to wait on the Lord. Because that's the last thing we want to hear from our Lord, is thou wicked servant. In the gospel, our Lord once again is being taunted by the Jews about which is the greatest commandment. And our Lord, of course, tells him perfectly, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. And then backs it up with this, with the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Here again, after he's already answered this question for them, they asked it again, and our Lord tells them point blank. But then he turns around and asks them a question. Knowing that already they've heard of the many miracles, they already know what lineage he comes from, as that from the house of David, so they already know all this. So he asked them, what do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? And of course, they knew that right away. It's David's son. Okay. How does David say in the Spirit, call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son? Our Lord really emphasized who he was. They all knew what he was talking about, but they could not acknowledge it. They did not want to acknowledge that what he just said to them was referred to him. So they didn't dare ask any more questions, lest they embarrass themselves or whatnot. But here too, we're reminded that we too have to love the Lord God with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Just like we teach in the catechism to know, love, and serve the good Lord with our whole heart, mind, and soul. So this is the whole process here that we try to perform every single day. And this, our good Lord, as we know, died for us on the cross. He suffered for us, for our salvation, so that we may have a place with him in his eternal kingdom. But the good Lord was not done yet. Yet he has proved his love by the crucifixion, yet he wants to prove it even further by sending us, his weak, sinful creatures, a guardian, whom we call the guardian angel. And as the church teaches, everyone has a guardian angel. Those that are good and those that are bad, it makes no difference. But this day being the feast of the guardian angel, we are reminded to show our reverence and respect for him. We do this by our good works and our prayers. We'd even, as sinful men, continue on going their direction. Unfortunately, they are making their guardian angels turn away from them. It's kind of like someone with a beehive. When they go in there to get the honey, they smoke out the bees, so they move, so they get out of the way so they can get to the honey. And that's precisely what a sinful life does. It turns the angels away. We have this example, I couldn't think of it this morning, but I did now, of St. Francis of Rome, who in the 14th or 15th century, I can't remember which, she is an oblate of St. Benedict, but she had the grace of seeing her guardian angel. And every time the slightest little offense or something happened, he would cover his face. And every time she did good works or someone else was doing good works or whatever, his countenance was fine. I don't want to say smiling, but I guess we'll use smiling for lack of other words. But this is the attitude of the angels towards us. They want to help us. They've been with us since our birth. They are part of the family. How often do we call upon their aid and their help? Do we listen to their admonitions? And some might say, well, we never hear them. Yes, you do. You're just not paying attention. Has it ever occurred to you that they're going to do it very simply For instance, if you're watching TV and watching a bad show and something comes to you, I shouldn't be watching this. Who do you think is saying that? Or you're on the internet and some curiosity's got to you and it says, nope, you better move. Who do you think is saying this? It's very subtle. They're always out watching. But if we, and of course, in our pride and arrogance, override these thoughts, then of course we have to suffer the consequences of our action. But we always have this guardian who the good Lord has sent to us to help us to achieve our salvation. He is here to help us get there. He is the one that will present us to the judgment seat of God. He may be also the one to conduct us to purgatory. His only wish is your salvation. That's his job. Is to make sure that you get to heaven. Just like the devil's job is to make sure that if you give in to him, that you go to hell. But it's very important that we show our love and respect for our guardian angels. That we don't displease them by our actions. We always try to honor them every day, especially today. But every day. Pray to them in times of trouble, times of temptation. That's why they're here. To help us. To give us the grace to stand up. To fortify ourselves against temptation and bad thoughts. To be able to put up with the things that we have to put up with generally every day of our lives. The people we have to deal with. Always admonishing us to be patient and charitable. These are the things we have to keep in mind. Because after all, we're trying to serve the good Lord every day. We're trying to improve ourselves every day. If we weren't trying to change ourselves, then why are we here in the first place? Do you expect the sacraments of the church to change you? They only help you. You have to do the work. You have to do the work. It is rough. But look at the reward at the end. That's what we're focused at. Our Lord promises us eternal life if we do what His Father's will. And what is His Father's will? Our daily duties. The things that we have to do every single day. We do it to perfection. I told someone before, the only difference between the religious and the layperson is that you work for a paycheck and we work for the grace of God. But the work is the same. Those in the religious life don't walk on a cloud and have their hands folded in prayer all day long. They too have to get into the dirt and get dirty. They too have to do all the work that you do. But they do it for a different reason. We do it because we love God. We try to perfect our work because we love God. Every day we go to the church to say our prayers 7 times a day, so to speak, and because we love God, and also because we love our neighbor who at those hours of the day cannot pray to the good Lord. So we take up the call. We do it for them. Prayer is very powerful, very important. And lots of times when we stop prayer or relax in prayer, the devil does not waste any moment at all to make a move. Because you let your guard down. There's a story about Pope Leo XIII. Who heard a conversation between our Lord and the devil himself. And the devil said to our Lord, I can destroy your church. And our Lord said, okay. And the devil says, I need more time and more power. And our Lord says, you shall have it. Do with them what you will. When the Pope heard this, he shuddered and composed that beautiful prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. And he had this prayer to be said at all the parishes throughout the world at the end of Mass, like we do here. Now, can you think about it? That every parish throughout the world, so we know how big this is. And this prayer went all the way around the world. And as long as that prayer was being said, he couldn't make a move. But in 1960, what happened? Oh, let's modernize the thing. We don't have to say this anymore. That's just old tale talk. You know, along with the prayers that we say after Mass, was supposed to be for the conversion of Russia, which that's the intention that we say those prayers. But St. Michael was specific. But this has been removed now for how long? 60 years? Close? Getting close? We removed the obstacle out of the way, and the devil's now having a heyday. Look what's happening. As the church goes, so goes the world. So we have to thank the good Lord for the grace that he gives us to keep our faith strong, to believe in what the church has always taught, to be faithful to its rules and regulations. Because if we stop praying, we too shall fail. It's inevitable. But as long as we are saying our prayers to the best of our ability, we keep him at bay. We always have to remember that we are here on a pilgrimage. This is not our home. And the good Lord puts up obstacles and opposition for us so we can what? Grow in virtue. Grow in the virtue of charity, patience, meekness, kindness, benevolence. And we do all these things by the most powerful thing we can possibly give by ourselves, for others, and that is our example. The good example that we give every single day, day in and day out. Remember this, the example is what Saint Benedict used to convert all of Europe. This is what the world needs today. It doesn't have good example. It doesn't have the role models that it needs. You have a young priest telling older people on how and what to do. That's backwards. But that's the times we live in. We don't have the older priests who know by experience of what to do and what to say. Unfortunately, we have to go by books. That's the tragedy we live in today. But should any of this discourage us? Should the world discourage us? Should the behavior of the people discourage us? Not so. It only shows that we need to pray more and more for them, for their conversion. And then we have got greater work to do by performing our good works and good example. Do we love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul? Do we love our neighbor as myself? Didn't our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments? So if we love him and keep his commandments, we have nothing else to worry about. He will always take care of us. He will always watch over us. He'll always be there to help us with his grace. After all, we depend very much on his word and his mercy. And if we lose faith in that, then we're seriously hurting. But we put all our love and trust in what our Lord has said and what his promises and his depend on his mercy for his love for us. We have absolutely nothing to fear. So every day, do your best. Offer up your daily duties. Say your prayers as well as you possibly can. Always keep asking the good Lord for those graces you stand most in need of. If we keep doing this every single day, we'll be just fine. The only thing that will stop this is our self-will and our self-love, which we have to keep in check. And with the help of God's grace, we shall. May God bless you, and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.